2 Kings chapter 4. And I left my thing down there. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Title of my message tonight is Nothing Left. Nothing Left. That's an odd title to the message, but I think you'll kind of see it as we go along. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. In way of introduction, you know, God is the Father to the fatherless. He provides and He protects widows. We know in James chapter 1 that that's true religion, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep themselves unspotted from the world. We know that, did I get this right? 2 Kings? I just hope, I know this is an introduction, okay? Trust me. So the issue is that God provides when we don't think there's any way of provision. And in Psalm 68, verses 3 through 6, it says, But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceeding rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Jah, and rejoice before Him. He's a father to the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. You know, you're not alone with God, and He's going to surround you with other people so you're not alone. He bringeth out of those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. This message tonight is in the ministry of Elisha. And Elijah was a prophet that was in the northern kingdom. He was the successor to Elijah. And there was wickedness going along in that time. They had turned away from God. They've turned away from the priesthood. It is a time of misery. It is a time of poverty. It is a time of famine. And there is all sorts of issues going on. But you know, God will protect the fatherless and the widows. And so we're going to look at a story that we probably heard in Sunday school. We probably heard preached before about the woman who lost her husband and she didn't have any money left. You know, we talk about, you know, planning for the future. Folks, as dads and as fathers, we need to plan for our families. And that should be including what happens after we pass on. But here's a situation of a widow. She didn't want to be a widow. She didn't choose to be a widow. It just happened to her. And so as we look at this, we're just going to go through these verses tonight and see how God can bless and encourage us to ask God for more until there's nothing left. There's nothing left of us. So in verse 1, we see this widow's trouble was brought to Elijah. You know, nothing's a secret from God. He knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. So here we see in verse 1, we see a widow that is in trouble with her family. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. What was happening right now is there was no temple and there were no priests. And God will always have a message. And so there were prophets, and these prophets went around from place to place and they had schools. Or they had an entourage that followed them to see the word, you know, to see what the prophet was going to do and see God's will for their life. And so this woman, her husband was in one of these schools with Elijah. And he passes away. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And he and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You know, there's a lot of challenges going on in people's life, but this woman has a challenge. You know, what was her trouble? Well, the first thing is, she went to the right source for the trouble. She went to God's man. She went to the prophet. No, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the what? Prophets. When you had a problem, you prayed to God, but then you also went to the man of God. Folks, we need to go to the man of God, who is Jesus. He's our prophet. He's our high priest. He's all the things to us that we need. And so she turns to God in trouble. In verse 1 it says, she cried out to Elijah. What were her problems? What were her problems? Her husband was dead. Now, you say, well, okay, well, that happens all the time. But folks in Israel, in that culture, wives didn't have property rights. Wives did, there wasn't any Social Security. There wasn't any provision for taking care of. This is a godless now nation that they were living in. This is the northern kingdom that had separated itself from Israel. Folks, we have a lot of problems with this today, even. So her problems, it started with the death of her husband. And you know how things happen? You have one trigger event, and then all of a sudden, other things keep on going on. And probably a lot of missionaries and a lot of people on deputation and a lot of men, preachers that start churches go through this issue. There's nothing in the bank. They live by faith. But what had happened here, her husband was dead and she had debts that she could not pay. It was beyond her capacity. She didn't have any station to do that. And oh, by the way, the priest didn't have land. They didn't have an inheritance. God was their inheritance. And if he was, her husband was part of the Levitical line, he wouldn't have had anything. And oh, by the way, the king of Israel had taken it all away anyway. So it was a time of misery, it was a time of poverty, it was a time of suffering. And in that environment, she loses her husband. And then she has these debts that she could not pay. And then, in the Mosaic law, there was provision that if you had debts that you could not pay, your sons could be sold as bondmen. And there was, you could go read the Old Testament, you can read the Mosaic law, and you can find out that they could sell themselves into servitude in order to pay off the debt, and the amount of payment that they get was how many years it came into the year of the Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, that they were all let go. But there was also rules on the creditor on how they were supposed to treat their brothers who had sold themselves into slavery. Weren't supposed to exact usury on them. Weren't supposed to mistreat them or anything like that. So this is not a point about, well, this creditor was an evil man. No. He had a valid legal claim here. And you know what happens when you don't have any money, you start borrowing it. When you don't have any sustenance, you start borrowing it. And so this widow is in a peculiar situation. Her husband was a believer. It says here in verse 1, it says he did fear the Lord. So he's trying to follow God. You know, sometimes we do everything we can to follow God, and then these things happen, and we say, what's going on with this? What's up with this, God? I'm supposed to have this victorious life. Everything's supposed to be roses and posies and pansies, whatever, flowers. Okay? And it's just not working out. Ever felt like that? Ever felt like you're at the end of your rope and say, it's just not worth it? And no one cares for me? And we kind of see this in the way that she does. She cries out. She says, I have nowhere to turn to. I have no way to get out of the problems that I'm in. Unless you bring my husband back to life, this is over. And now my family's going to be broken up because they have to pay off this debt that we've incurred. Help. You know, it's very true that problems might make us lose sight of God and might make us doubt His wisdom, might make us doubt His love. Look at Job. Look at how much Job lost. And then he has his friends come and say, well, Job, it's obvious why this has all happened to you, because you're a dirty, rotten sinner. And you cheated people, and you just hid it. You know, and you have problems. You know, people like to pile on. They just like to pile on. And he says, well, if you'd done it God's way, it wouldn't be like this. God's people don't suffer like this. Oh, you can't say that. This woman's husband was following God. She didn't choose to be a widow. It just happened. You know, those are times that God can show Himself strong if we don't turn our back on Him. So, folks, we've preached this before. You have an issue, something that's bigger than you. Don't try to solve it. Take it to God. Amen. Take it to God's Word. Take it to God's people. You know, Elijah knew about her trouble. You know why? Because her husband hung out with him. Her husband was learning from him. He was one of the sons of the prophet. He was a student of Elijah. He might have been there when Elijah took the mantle from Elijah. We don't know that. But here's a man doing everything right, and then this happens. And God knows that. And Elijah knew that. In verses 2 through 4 it says, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now let's get some perspective here. This is not a cauldron. This is not an Instapot. Okay? This is not some 20-quart cooker. This is a flask of oil that's used to anoint people. It's something that can be held in the palm of your hand. And she says, Elijah, all I have in my house is this little flask or this little vial of oil. My husband is dead. You knew him. We got debts. We can't pay them. And I don't want to see my sons go into the creditor's servitude. And then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Oh, okay, you want me to go out and borrow more oil. I get it. No. What kind of vessels? Empty vessels. You know what God wants in our lives? He wants empty vessels so He can fill up. He wants empty vessels that He can fill up. And He says, just don't get a few of them. Get a whole lot of them. Okay? Borrow, not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. See, help is available. She cries out to the man of God, and Elijah says, okay, what do you want me to do? What do you want to happen here? Well, the obvious thing is, I need to get out of debt. Okay? I need to get out of debt. What God wants us to do, folks, is He wants us to realize our problems the same way He sees them. And realize that it's beyond us. She said, and then He goes on and says this. He says, what's in your house? And she says, the only thing we have left is this little flask of oil. See, God, you want to grow your faith? God's going to put you in situations that's bigger than you. Does this sound familiar? There's 5,000 men sitting out on a mountaintop, and it's been in a desert place, and it's time to eat supper, and there's nobody there, and they just have these few fishes and loaves. And the disciples come to Jesus and said, send them away! We don't want to take this problem on. There's not enough food for them. Send them away. See, Jairus, his daughter, we talked about in the kids' corner this morning. His daughter's sick. Can't recover. There's no help. Take it to God. He is the God of all things. See, God wants us to see that our means to solve our problems are inadequate. And what the widow was saying, she said, look, Elijah, this ain't happening. You know, with Elijah, it was the woman with the little bit of meal and little bit of oil to make one more meal and die. See, other people have the exact same problems. And we may be going through the same problems. Maybe some of you out there are having a problem that's too big for you. And so I just don't understand how to fix this. It might be a health issue. It might be a financial issue. Might be an emotional issue, might be a relationship issue. But see, God wants us to understand that we can't fix our own problems. That we need Him to fix it. Okay? But see, God, even in our lack, we can still do something. Now here's an odd thing. You know, if we were broke and we go to the man of God, we would expect him to do what? Give us money. Elijah, let's do a GoFundMe account. Let's go out on the internet and ask all these people, all these strangers to go just provide money to us. That's the way the world thinks right now. See, where's God in that? That's using human means to solve it. And I'm not going to say anything bad against it. But the fact is that what God tells you to do, then that's okay. But if that's your first course of reaction to a problem, that may not be the right way. And so comes Elijah, maybe expecting some help. And Elijah says, okay, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then the answer she gets, it's surprising, isn't it? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to go to all your neighbors and get all their empty vessels. I'll just go to the neighbors that I like. They'll help me. No, go to everybody. Even the ones that you don't like. And, you know, you scour the city. You scour your neighbors. And you try to get every pot that you possibly can. Anything that would hold something. You go out and you get... Folks, we can do that, can't we? God's given us health. He's given us ability. He's given us strength to go out and do things. And what God wants us to do, it's just like He said. He says, go and borrow these vessels. He didn't say go and steal them. He says, go and borrow them. You know, God says, He says that men will bless you. That men will provide for you. See, God wants us to do what we can do. We can go. We can go to our neighbors. We can do these things. God wants us to do the work. A lot of people say, well, I got this financial thing. I'm going to go on the lottery. I'm going to buy me a lottery ticket. It's God's will that I win the lottery. Yay! That's how God's going to provide. No, it's not! He's not going to provide that way. Do what you can do with what God has given you. And then do the work. Do the work. And then God wants us to work until He is finished. Not when you say, this is enough. Now, can you imagine this? You know, this woman's house might have looked like Home Goods in the end. You know, if God tells you to do something, you ought to do it with what? Heartily, as unto the Lord. Don't hold anything back. Man, if she followed God to the letter, her house would be full of stuff. Because that's what God told her to do. That's what the man of God told her to do. How far do we go when God tells us to do something? When God tells us there's something that is in our capacity to do, how far would you go? I'll tell you a secret here. He's going to bless you as far as you go. Amen. You want big blessings, you need to think big for God. You don't think big for God, you're going to get little blessings. Now here's the interesting thing. Okay? At first, go borrow these vessels. What? Empty vessels? What? But then Elijah gives her the solution. It says, then you're going to pour out this oil. Okay? And here's the point. What was the direction? This whole issue about God's providing for her was going to be done with the door shut. It's going to be done with her and her kids. Elijah's not there. Elijah just told her what to do. You would think that that's... Sometimes we kind of go out and expect the world to help us. We want the world to see. No. God wants to do things in private. And so we can have confidence in God. So Elijah knew about her trouble. So what do you want me to do? Okay, what do you have in your house? Let's use this. Go out and get a whole bunch of vessels. To get God's blessing, you have to do what you're told to do. See, it's one thing to know the solution to a problem, but it's another thing to actually do the solution. It's another thing to take this to a logical conclusion. Okay? Just like, what if? What if she didn't do what God had told her to do? Would her debts go away? Nope. Would her husband come back to life? Nope. Would her sons be sold into bondage? Yep. Would anything change if she did nothing? No. Why do we think that God will do something for us if we do nothing? Why would we think that? But there's a lot of people, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to come to your house. Don't ask me to share the word. Don't ask me to read my Bible. Don't ask me to raise my family right. Don't ask me to spend, to provide resources back to you as offering. The widow had to do what she was told. In verses 5 and 6, so she what? Went from him and shut the door. She didn't deviate anything from where God told her to do. Folks, we don't deviate from God's word. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. Now, I thought that was pretty smart. Got her kids involved too. Folks, you can't solve everything. I have a couple of people at my work that love to solve everything for their kids. And I ask, how do your kids learn? How do your kids learn? We can help, but how do they learn? How can we show the power of God? If we don't believe in the power of God, we don't follow it. So she did. She was smart. Yeah, okay, sons, go out and get all these vessels. You're faster. You're probably stronger. Okay? You're definitely younger. Go do this. Folks, we need to get our kids involved in God's work. Who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed or stopped. Okay? She prepared for abundance. We don't know how many pots she had, but I guarantee you it was a whole bunch because of what happens in verse 7. Okay? Don't read there yet. We'll get there. Okay? Folks, you want God's magnificent blessings, you need to prepare magnificently. You need to do things in abundance if you want God to abundantly bless you. Beyond what you can even ask or think, you need to do that. She prepared for abundance. She used what she had. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine? So, go in there. There's all these pots and all these things around in the house. Probably the house. We serve a mighty God. Our house should have been chock full of empty vessels for God to fill up. So she takes the first one and she pours. And what happens? Gets filled up. Puts it aside. Give me another one. Puts it in, fills it up. Huh. Puts it aside. Give me another one. Can you imagine the excitement that was going on here? Who's making the oil? God is. He's the one that changed water into wine. He can make oil last. And in her excitement, we can see this in verse 6. In her excitement, she keeps on, give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one. Just keeps on going. No, more, more, more. And then it says, that's the last one. Folks, that's how we should be. More. Fill up this area of my life. Fill up this area of my life. Give me more. Give me more. Do you want more of God? We sing the song, more about Jesus. What? Would I know? Paul says that I may know Him in the power. Paul prays the church at Ephesus. He says that you can comprehend the height and the breadth to understand that? She's pouring this oil out to this little flask into these great big pots. You know, the first time, it defies the law of physics. Here's this thing, it's about that big, and here's this pot about this big, and it fills it up. Folks, that's how God works. That's how God works here. And so, she used what she had. The only thing she had in the house, as she told Elijah, was the flask of oil. And here's the title of the message. She learned that God can fill until there's nothing left to fill. God will keep on filling up until there's nothing left to fill. You know what we should be doing as dad? We should get involved and have God get involved in every aspect of our life. Christian, we need to have God fill us all the way up till there's not more. Fill me till there is no more. Fill my cup, Lord. We sing these songs, but do we really understand the significance of them? So the widow had to do what she was told. Now, she had no land. She had no inheritance. She had all these debts. She had no resources to pay them. It was bigger than what she could do. She went to the only place that she knew was bigger than her. That was God. And she found out that God's supply is sufficient. My Bible tells me this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." In verse 7, "Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, 'Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.'" See, a lot of us would just say, "God, pay my debt." But see, God wants to do more than that. Some of us would say, "God, just get me through this day." But God wants to do more than that. The first thing that she did when she saw this happening, after there was no more vessels left, she went and told Elijah what God had did, what God had done. Folks, when God does something for you, you need to tell somebody that. Okay? You need to tell somebody that. I tell you what, we got everybody telling all the wrong that's going on in the world. And it's time for God's people to stand up and tell what the right is in our lives going on.
Right. Amen.
So the first thing here in verse 7, it says, "Then she came and told the man of God." That was probably pretty exciting to Elijah, wasn't it? Because it encourages one another. But see, it doesn't stand there. You know, it doesn't stop there. All that Elijah initially told her was what? Go get all these pots and all these vessels and fill them up. Okay? So now she's got this house full of oil. Better than Jed Clampett. Okay? She got this house full of oil. Oh, well, I could barter it. I could do all this other stuff. So when God does something for you, you know what you need to do? Go back to God. Go back to God. "Okay, God, you've blessed me here. Now what do you want me to do? Now what do you want me to do?" So Elijah tells the next step of the purpose. The first thing he said is go and borrow. And now he says, go and sell. It's not about go and use. It's go and sell. You know, oil was a commodity that was worth something. And if God made wine to be the best it could, this oil was probably the most exquisite quality that these merchants had ever seen. And they probably paid top dollar for it. See, we don't think about things like that. See, God does all things well. And so she takes it to the merchant. And Elisha already knows what's going to happen. He was so confident in what God was going to do for her, because God is a God of the fatherless and the widows. And he's not going to let the poor suffer. And he's not going to let them go into bondage. We saw that in Psalm 68. He's not going to do that. He's not that type of a God. And so God's purpose realized brings total victory over her problem. Her initial problem was not what am I going to do for the rest of my life. Her initial problem was, I have this debt that I can't pay, and I'm going to have to sell my kids into bondage for some period of time in the future. See, God just didn't take care of her family, took care of all the debt, and then took care of the rest of her life. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to take care of the rest of our lives, not just today. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to come back and say, God, what's next? He wants to show Himself. I'll fill this one up. And fill me until there is no more. He wants to take us all the way to eternity like that. He wants us to walk all the way to eternity like that. See, this is a neat story. It's got a significant implication for us. So she told Elijah what God had done. She said, what's next? What's next? And Elijah told her what was next, and she did it. And look at how God blessed her beyond what she could possibly ever thought for. And she said, and Elijah said, you'll live, you and your sons live on the rest. Better 401k than anybody could ever have. Okay? Tonight, do we have more vessels to fill in our lives? We need to ask God, fill me up till there's no other space to fill up in me. Let me bring more to the table that you can fill up and change my life. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, come and tell Him that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. Just ask You this time of invitation. Father, fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our heart. Father, help us, Lord, to see You in every area of our life till there's no other area left. Lord, help us to sell out to You as if there's nothing left. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.